to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 110 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Mine was incredibly busy, but I will get to that here in a minute. I'm not wasting any time. I've got four guys on Skype ready to roll. First up from the great state of Hotlanta, where I will be in a few weeks to hang out with the boys. And it is also the future site of Tom Brady's sixth Super Bowl win from the PETM podcast, Sherwin and Rusty. What's up, boys?
You go to hell. I quit.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm out. See ya.
I'm not sure about that intro there.
Oh, man. All right. And also on the line, they lost the war in 1783 and lost a bet to me last year, marking a 235-year losing streak. From the MOATF podcast across the pond, David and Andrew, what's up, boys?
I also quit.
How are you? Are you sure about them dates?
Yeah, you got me a bit wrong.
1783 doesn't ring a bell to me.
Also, who's Tom Brady?
Well, we can get into that later if we need to.
He's one of the Brady Bunch. Everybody knows that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is going to be interesting. Five guys on the line at once. This is going to be definitely a laid-back show. We're going to talk to and see what everyone's been up to in the offseason, what's coming up with shows, and most importantly, we'll recap the silly season a little bit, which basically will be me, Sherwin, Rusty, and Andrew providing actual intellectual thought and insight with David calling everything ridiculous and us all ninnies.
Wow.
Wow. So before we get into all that, in honor of the PETM podcast being on the show, what's everyone drinking tonight? We'll kick it off with the PETM guys.
Do it, Sherwin. Where you at?
I'm here. Finally, I got back in. Sorry, I got booted out.
Oh, no problem.
I think it was because our system is doing one of their recycles on our stupid cloud drive. Anyway, I am drinking a Evan Williams White Label 100 proof and ginger beer.
Nice.
So nice. Our show later, it's going to be lit.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I'll take it easy.
Well, I have it's pink lemonade, but
pink lemonade.
Around the corner, there's a jar.
Nice.
So that jar might get nipped on a couple times.
And across the pond, Andrew, what do you got?
I have got a glass of Rioja.
Nice.
Wow.
How very European of you.
How very upper class of you.
Well, it makes sense based on the way that light's kind of shining on him like he's a princess.
And David, what do you got, my man?
I'm going for Red Bull because I'm soft and it's really late. I'm going with Red Bull
I'm with you with the Red Bull. Mine obviously has a little touch of vodka in it. Yeah.
Just a sniff.
Just a smidge. Just a smidge.
That's a full push.
All right. The next thing I want to do before we get rolling here is I need to call out my man David. You did lose a bet to me, and I just want to remind everyone of that, call attention to that, and I am excited to hear your description about the package you received on your show, and if need be, when you guys come back on at some point during the season, we can address, but I don't want to take anything away from how you're going to do that on your show. So I just wanted to remind everybody to be on the lookout for the MOATF podcast and addressing a package that was received in the off season.
It was beautiful. I've got to give it to you. It was good.
Nice.
I didn't expect it. You know, the missus was like, there's a package from America. And I was like, Who in the world is sending me stuff from America? And then it twigged, and I thought, I know what this is. So I opened it up, and there was There was all sorts of good stuff, actually. So there's koozies and stickers, which are quite nice. And then the T-shirt, I thought, oh, here we go. There's going to be some sort of war thing on it. There's going to be all sorts of craziness on it. But it was actually really smart and really it was thoughtful, actually.
Thank you.
So it had every Kevin Harvick win on it. It had some of the other stats where and when I think it had.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it had, what was it, 4/18
yes.
on the back?
Yes.
On the front?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wore it on Christmas Day.
That's loud fantastic. And proud. I love it.
And I've wore it at work a couple of times, but I don't usually take my jumper off, so you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they haven't seen it, but it's fantastic. And we definitely need to have some sort of betting thing going on for this coming season, that's hey. For sure.
And we've also got that. We've also got that participation trophy.
Oh, the participation.
Oh, you guys like that one, huh?
I've never won anything properly, so what? That was...
No, you didn't win. It was just an acknowledgement that you were there. That's all it was.
No, when you sent it, it says participation award. Yeah. What it says on it now is very different. It says overall winners.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. One. I love it. All right. Before we get into stuff, it is Super Bowl weekend. Are you guys familiar with the Super Bowl culture and all that over there? Do the Detroit and Atlanta boys need to give you a quick schooling lesson?
No, it's pretty big over here, to be honest.
Is it really?
It's quite a big deal over here, Super Bowl, for the most part.
Nice.
It gets terrestrial because it's normally on something called Sky Sports every game. All year, but the Super Bowl gets terrestrial TV coverage, and a lot of people are into their wrong type of football over here. So,
now, like Rusty, sure. Do you guys get into squares? Like, is squares a big thing down there, or is that like a Midwest thing up here kind of ordeal?
It's something I've done a lot. I mean, working from home right now means I don't have an office, and that's usually where those things kind of kick off.
Sure.
But so I haven't been in one for a while, but yeah, squares is a thing. We played it a lot in the fraternity days too.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, my wife does one at work, and it's $20 a square, but and they do two full boards, but they pay out on every score change, and that includes extra points.
Wow.
So it's insane how much money is going through that. And she's come out at $200, $300 every year that she's played it. I don't know how all the math adds up, but
nice.
Sure works well for us.
Absolutely.
So we usually have a post-Super Bowl nice dinner to go out to.
Fantastic. Do you guys kick back? You guys going to parties? Do you go to the bar? What's because big thing around here now is you know, the Super Bowl party. And we go to the bar and watch it. I don't care about the commercials. I want to be around people that actually pay attention and know the game versus people that are just there to just watch the commercials and drink.
Used to be a big deal at my place. Like many things, as our friends have grown up and had kids and I guess fell out of love for staying up past 9 p.m., it has dwindled a bit.
Sure.
So we're on to a few other things this year. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. And what's across the pond, are you guys are parties had, or is it just kind of a thing that everyone just kind of does their own thing for the Super Bowl?
I think there are people that, I mean, it's not something I've ever been involved in, but I think there are people that have that sort of stuff, and there is quite, you know, sports bars and that sort of stuff stay open to watch it, but obviously it's on pretty late for us. It goes well into the early hours, so I guess most people would watch it at home.
That damn time zone. That I thought world was the same time everywhere, but apparently not.
What is this halftime show, and why do they have people I have no idea who they are?
Oh,
who's on this show?
The halftime show has become like this ordeal over the years in terms of, you know, was literally daytime TV the next day will just be spent hashing out whether the halftime show was good or bad and was the crowd. I could care less about the halftime show. I'm there for football.
I pay attention when... Go ahead, Rusty.
We had what's-her-name's boobs one time. We had
Janet Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, Coldplay have done it.
It's pretty serious stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, I pay attention when Katy Perry's the...
She was a good one. She was a good one. You know, last year, what was Justin Timberlake last year when he was like dancing through the crowd and stuff and all that? Or I think that was him last year.
I thought this year's act was a big act. Am I wrong?
Maroon 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty
kind of big.
Pretty
solid.
Pretty
much the star of that voice thing.
Yeah.
Adam Levine.
Yep. Yep. All right. So I got a question for you guys, and I think I'll know the answer for most of them, and I think David's going to be the only one that'll really maybe be able to relate to this. So the Clash is 12 days away. Daytona's 19 days away, less than 3 weeks. I know for me, knowing what's coming up over the next 9 months, 10 months, whatever it may be, that I am not going to be able to keep the wife happy in terms of a time commitment on the weekends and all that, because I'm going to be preoccupied watching some racing. So I took that into account over the last month or so, taking her out a little bit extra, all that kind of stuff. What have you guys knocked out or tried to knock out so that you don't have any commitments pop up down the road? Anything?
Well, I don't mind starting. In our house, Sunday nights is NASCAR night, basically. That's the rules. And, well, not the rules. That's just the way it is.
It's the rule, damn it.
Yeah, it's the rule. The only thing is we're still negotiating European trips this year, but Sunday nights, it's never even a conversation. But obviously, Excellent. We don't watch Xfinity in trucks every week, so.
I'll just sell the child off and the wife off to some sort of governing body or gangster on Sundays, and we'll get them back on Mondays. We'll pay the price. It's fine. That's how it works. I'm looking forward to showing him it. So it'll be good. And like Andy says, really, Sunday nights is because it's a nighttime thing for us.
Yeah, it's actually really convenient.
For you guys, it's a little bit different, but for us, because it goes on into the late night, it's usually an eventful, ruined event, so it's all good on my part.
Well, it wasn't that I was trying to build currency for this or anything, but I will say in the last 2 days I did fix one of the thresholds downstairs in our floor that needed fixing. I rearranged our pantry and I cooked lunch and dinner for the week. So
nice.
I think I've got a little bit of political capital stored up to watch my races and stuff. But
you're good till November.
Yeah, she'll be sitting there right next to me. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Sherwin, I know you don't have too much of a tie down or anything like that, so you're pretty much good regardless.
Yeah, not too many rules over here where I'm making all the decisions.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. I am going to hit some social media here for everybody really quick, and then we are going to jump into some silly season talk. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I redid it in the off season, so go check out the new layout of the website. Check out Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you subscribe and download and tell your friends. Still got the 3,500 follower giveaway on Twitter going on. New t-shirts on the store. Stickers and koozies are available. And of course, make sure you check out PETM on their website, PETMpodcast.com. And make sure you check out MOATF Podcast on their website, MOATF.com. Everyone will give their handles and all that at the end of the show. And don't forget about the 2019 Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Click on the fantasy link on the website for all the information on the rules, how to register. You've got until Friday, February 15th, to register if you want to play during segment one. There's already over 30 people registered, which is awesome. So go get signed up. Tell your friends, which leads me to MOATF. Boys, what do you think of the new playoff format this year for the show? I welcome your critique.
Well, we'll be there all the way till the final, so we're fine with it.
Yeah, we just had to use every single character on the keyboard at least 30 times.
To get the email address.
Just to get the email address and several attempts.
LapTrafficFantasyPodcast@gmail.googlemail.net or something.
America.com.co.uk.
LapTrafficFantasy2019@gmail.com. Sorry to exercise your fingers there a little bit.
three breaths to say that.
Too many syllables for an email address.
You know, I don't know if you noticed or realized, also new this year is whoever is in the lead in the standings, if they so choose, get to call in and make their picks on the show. So I expect to talk to you guys never during the season. So
I'll say we'll be on. Do you know what? When I listened last week and I thought we'll be on every week.
Well, yeah, people will be sick of us.
Chloe Junker's got something to say about that. I know that.
She's too busy on the ice. She ain't going to be
that
bothered about
true.
It.
That is true. She's had a lot of ice time lately.
She's hard checking blokes left, right, and center. She's not bothered. We will be winning unless these two enter, and then we might
well,
have an issue.
That was what I was going to say. I'm like, it could be 3-2 if we can convince the PETM podcast to join. But, you know, that's up.
Sherwin's already out. I can see this.
I know.
Sherwin's already out.
He's not a fantasy fan, are you, Sherwin?
Man, I did a lot of fantasy for a lot of years, and when I quit it, it actually made it more enjoyable for me.
Fair enough.
I get that.
Do you know what, Sherwin? I'm struggling with the lights behind you right now.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Only like a couple of them work. It's kind of funny. That's why I leave it on. It makes me laugh. It's like the Charlie Brown of, you know, Christmas decorations.
So we're breaking fourth wall here because the five of us get to see each other right now. So everyone listening, and I'm going to take a picture right now to tweet that. But Sherwin has some Christmas lights hanging in the threshold of their entrance to the kitchen there.
Only about a third of them are on.
Well, you got to keep them up till they're all off, and then they can come down.
Well, you guys can't see. There's a whole string behind me that is actually working pretty good, but yeah, most of them don't work at all.
Well, we already discussed no ball and chain at the Sherwin household, so yeah. Christmas lights go till March, baby.
But it's funny. We took our Christmas lights down, and that's when we got our first snowstorm. Was after that, so we didn't even get a snowfall up here with the Christmas lights on outside, which was really a bummer. But I mean, when we just got 6-7 inches the other day, and it's supposed to. The state of Michigan is closing down tomorrow. Basically, the University of Michigan has already canceled class, and it's only the second time in 37 years that the University of Michigan's canceled class.
I thought y'all up north were all prepared to deal with snow and cold weather.
Well, snow, yeah, but I mean, they're literally talking like -25 or -30 with the wind chill, and apparently these millennials can't handle that or something. I don't know. So.
Well, snowflakes.
Well, so a lot of that, I mean, I know down here when it gets as cold as it is here, you know, the heating systems are just not designed well enough to keep classrooms warm. And I assume that -30 or -50 or whatever ridiculous.
It's all the same.
I can't even fathom.
At that point, it's just death.
it's cold.
Death.
Yes.
It's what it is.
Yes. you know, the salt on the roads isn't going to work. Fortunately, the snow's not coming tomorrow, too. The snow's done, and that's all the roads are plowed and salted, which is good. But it's going to be cold. I'm working from home tomorrow. It's going to be cold.
I was going to say, below about 5 degrees, the salt doesn't do anything.
No.
It's outside of its operating window.
Yeah. Now, do you guys have salt trucks? You guys probably don't, because you guys get snow so infrequently. You guys probably don't even invest in that type of.
There's a few. Roswell actually has 3, which is rare for a relatively small town.
Our city is like 2.2 square miles, and we have our own plow and salt truck just for our city.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nuts. We're 19 minutes in and haven't talked a lick of NASCAR, so I suppose we should maybe move over.
You should just put the MOATF on the front of it and call it a show, because that's all we do.
Before you start talking NASCAR,
yes, please
point out, Andrew, yep. I believe, you know, I'll break the fourth wall here, that we have in our respective studios the exact same cubby hole thing.
Yes, is yours from IKEA?
Yes, it's an IKEA.
Yes.
You have IKEA?
Yes.
In America?
IKEA, they're, I can't remember what they're called now, they're with Kallax. We've got them, they're everywhere in this house, absolutely everywhere.
That's
there you
fantastic.
Go. There it is.
Wow. With a derailer podcast.
I'm in an IKEA desk.
4,000 miles apart, got the same product.
Join our strap.
I love it. All right, guys, let's talk some silly season, get some takes and all that kind of stuff. We'll start with Cup because that's where most of the changes happen. I'm just going to run down a couple of the changes that happened and chime in with any comments on anything that you guys have. So from a driver standpoint, Daniel Suarez goes from Joe Gibbs over to Stuart Haas. Ryan Newman goes from Richard Childress to Roush. Matt DiBenedetto from GoFast to Levine. Kurt Busch from Stuart Haas to Chip Ganassi. Corey LaJoie from TriStar over to GoFast. And Martin Truex Jr. from Furniture Row over to Joe Gibbs. You know, for me personally, and I think I said this on with Sherwin a couple weeks ago when I was with him. For me, the off season from a driver move perspective was a little anticlimactic, and just that it was, you know, we all knew a lot of things were happening, poorly kept secrets, just waiting for confirmations, basically. So for me, the driver moves really wasn't as like shock and awe as it has been in years past. You guys, David, chime in there.
I know nothing about NASCAR. No, no, I quite like all the moves, to be fair. The biggest shock for me was Kurt Busch, to be honest. I didn't expect him to go there, but when you think about it logically, it's only a place for him to go. I'm glad that Suarez got a seat, to be fair, and everybody else is, you know, it is what it is, sort of thing. Nobody's really stood out to me, to be fair. But that's about as input as I get on NASCAR, I'm afraid.
How about Rusty?
Well, as far as the SHR, I mean, everything SHR touches right now is gold. So I think that's, you know, big move. Newman to Roush, I'm scratching my head a little bit. Is this Roush's, you know, Roush needs a big turnaround. Do they think they're seeing that in Newman? You know, not so sure. And Truex Gibbs has just been talked about forever. I think DiBenedetto to Levine is a good fit. And Kurt Busch, we knew he was landing somewhere. Ended up Ganassi. LaJoie, I didn't really... I haven't really followed that one very much, but it's cool to have, you know, some kind of old last name but new first name out in on the track again.
Sure.
Do you think Newman's is because of sponsorship? Is that, do you reckon that's why he's gone over there? Because he obviously took Cat over there. Was it Cat he took over? Am I wrong in saying that?
Did he bring one? I'm not sure.
To be honest with you. Sherwin, do you know?
I don't know if he took sponsorship with him or not. I don't think he took Caterpillar. Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems like an odd move, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It definitely is strange to me, and it's strange that in 2019 we're saying, because if we look back at 2005 and 2006, can you imagine saying that moving from Richard Childress Racing to Roush Racing is almost a demotion in a sort of way in terms of performance. Never would have imagined that based on how well the Roush cars performed in the early 2000s.
Oh, I agree completely. You know, when you look with Greg Biffle, they had
half the chase.
Yeah, towards the end of the field, you know, towards the end of their run, they had Carl Edwards. You know, they just had a dominant core there, and it's crazy, you know. Like you said, you know, the early 2000s, it was RFR. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think if you look at, like, between Busch and Biffle and Carl and Kenseth, between those guys, that they combined for, like, 70-something wins for Jack when they were all racing there. And, what, two championships and a second place? So it's amazing that Roush has not been able to recover from that.
No, Roush, RCR, and RPM have really taken that back burner type seat to, you know, the late 2000s to HMS, Stuart Haas, Furniture Row, and Joe Gibbs. It's and like you said, you know, is Newman to Roush, you know, is that going to tip the scale? And what way does it tip the scale?
Well, I think what it does is Newman is very consistent. He hasn't been winning races with RCR, but he's extremely consistent. You're going to get the same performance every time. So you're going to be able to find out, you know, what was Trevor's feedback in that car? Not too great. And when we saw Kenseth get in that car, and that was the exact reason why he did, and we didn't really see that car's performance pick up. So that should tell Roush right away that they've got a much bigger problem to solve. And I would expect Newman to help them solve that. And I don't, you know, I would expect him not, you know, I wouldn't expect him to race that much longer. He's my age. You know, he actually might be a little bit older than me. So, you know, 40, 41, 42 is knocking on the door.
No, that's, you know, it's a good point that you made there in terms of when Kenseth hopped in the seat. And Kenseth raced a long time competitively. I don't think the fact that he was out of the seat for three quarters of the season, half the season before he hopped in, I don't think that played that big of a role. So I agree with you completely that it may not have been a driver issue, that it's a, you know, product issue that they're in terms of the vehicle itself that they're putting out there.
Yeah.
Andy, how about you? Any comments on any of the driver moves?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what Sean just said then. Ryan Newman makes absolute sense for that very reason, because he's so consistent. At least they're going to get consistent feedback to try and make the things go faster. And I think Suarez is under massive pressure by purely based on Almirola's performance going into that car last year. I think Suarez is going to be massive, probably his biggest year to date, I think, even more so than the Gibbs years, because if he doesn't perform at the right level in the SHR car, then you can't see a future for him. And then I think Kurt Busch makes absolute sense. He strikes me as a typical Ganassi driver, because he's a racer, and Chip Ganassi is a racer, and that's what he wants. And yeah, that's kind of my take on the obvious ones. And I just want to see De Benedetto move up, get fast, have a good year, because I'm a big fan of his. So
I think everybody's a Matt D fan, and I definitely hope he's able to get the performance and the results that I know he's looking for with the new team. I want to kind of touch back to something we've all kind of hinted at a little bit, is Daniel Suarez with Stuart Haas. I think some of the critique over the last couple of years with Stuart Haas has been that they've got a older stable of drivers. Almirola's addition knocked the average down slightly, and Suarez definitely brings that average down a little bit more. Could Daniel Suarez, and if we look towards the Xfinity Series with Cole Custer, could those two guys be a stable that they can build around?
I don't know if that was two, but Suarez Suarez has got to perform this year, hasn't he? That's absolutely 100%. Suarez has got to perform this year, and Cole Custer's obviously they're just waiting for a slot for him to open, which you would think is going to be Clint Bowyer's current berth. On, you know, it would be the obvious choice, but it depends on who performs, I suppose.
Sherwin.
That's a good point. I expect Kevin Harvick to exit the sport sooner than Clint, but in terms of performance, what Andy said makes more sense. Almirola is not that much younger than Danica, so I don't think the average age changed very much.
Just the results.
Well, that's a great point. And I wasn't fixing to go into defend Danica mode, and I'm not going to now, but you make a good point. It's obvious that Almirola can drive a race car. Now he's got to figure out how to win with a race car that we all know can win. So that's what's next for them. I think anybody that steps into that 41 is going to be under pressure, like Andy said, because they're 1-year contracts and they're sponsored by the team owner, and that's all his money being spent until Suarez could potentially win and gain some sponsorship towards that car. That's what Kurt was able to do with Monster. That's why his relationship with SHR lasted as long as it did. We know that car is capable of winning, and Daniel Suarez really needs to go out and win a race.
It's David frickin' Zinger mode up there in the upper left.
Sorry.
just slingshotting it in there. all right. Drivers without rides in the Cup Series. Trevor Bayne, AJ Allmendinger, Jeffrey Earnhardt. I guess maybe the real shocker there is AJ, but he found a cool gig up in the booth. Are you surprised, anyone, that AJ wasn't able to land a ride? And do you think maybe he didn't want a ride?
I don't think he wanted a ride. I think he's known for being a ringer. He's known to be a good race car driver, and a good race car driver he is. So I think he might dip his hand back into the sports car. I think he was in the Daytona 24 Hours just gone. So I think he's going to tip his hand back towards sport car racing and focus on that and on the new gig that he's got. So I think that's where he'll go. For the other two, I think Jeffrey's he's earned a little bit of a good drive in the Xfinity Series, so it'll be interesting to see what he does in a decent car there. And if he performs well there, I expect to see him in the Cup Series for his racing talents and his name as well. So we'll see how that goes.
I'll be slightly more unkind. Does it really make any difference if those three particular drivers are there or not? I don't think it does.
Ooh, laying the hammer down.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you. I don't disagree.
AJ raced in the 24 and did TV duty. He's been hired by NBC Sports to do the IMSA coverage, pit coverage. Whatever, you know, the spot coverage, the person that's standing there with a microphone watching race cars go around. That's his job now. I would expect him to get another couple opportunities to jump in cars, but I think he's pretty much full on media now.
Yeah, I agree. All right. And drivers that don't plan to race full time, Jamie McMurray with his new TV deal running the 500. I don't think it was any surprise. Matt Kenseth and Casey Kane, due to health reasons, and going to go run some cool short dirt tracks and all that kind of good stuff. So I don't think Kenseth or Kane is a surprise for me anyways, just based on current circumstances. Jamie McMurray, though, I don't know that he was necessarily ready to throw in the towel. I think that was kind of forced and left without an opportunity that, you know, maybe he would have offered an opportunity, but it wasn't maybe a palatable one. Any comments there, Rusty?
Well, first off, Casey Kane, you know, if you got to talk about him, I will say that he's going to run 2 to 3 times more number of races this year than he did last year or year before, sure. You know, in his NASCAR career because of all that open wheel dirt that he's doing. So, yeah, he's you know, going to be making a name for a while. Like you said, Kenseth, no surprise. I mean, Jamie Mac, you know, it took me a little while to come to terms with that. I've said before, I'm a closet Jamie Mac fan. I like his attitude. I like his style and the way he races and stuff, and always seems to find a way to get up front. So it's going to be a little bit weird. I would kind of, though, put him in that same bucket as Allmendinger in terms of performance in a lot of ways. And so, I don't know. Yeah, it sucks to see people go, but, you know, in the end, I guess I would agree with Andrew a little bit in that a lot of these names today, it's not going to be a big, you know, hit for the sport.
Sure. Sherwin?
I've got a question.
Oh, yes.
I've got a question for the older, more knowledgeable blokes here. Is that I only really hear about Jamie Mac in plate racing. Is he any better than plate racing? Because that's the only conversation I ever hear him in.
Well,
is Jamie Mac will push through? Is that a thing, or is that is that what he was good at?
His last big year was, what was it, 2010, when he won the Daytona 500, he won Indy, and he won Darlington, and he won those three races, and then they made the Jamie Mac rule because he didn't make the playoffs that year. So, I mean, that was his last big year that was a plate win. I think he's got a Talladega win, but I'm not sure. So for me, I think he always performed well. He was always up front. He always seemed to be one of those guys contending in that, you know, first three rows for that final restart. You know, but I
he had second place at Roval this year or this past year. So I would love to see him be able to run that again. We'll see, you know, and what kind of equipment and stuff he's in.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah, 2010 Daytona, Indy and Charlotte were all wins.
Charlotte. That's right. Not Darlington, Charlotte. Yes. Yep.
No, fair play. It's just something I didn't even know about.
Yeah. He's always been called a good plate racer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget that, I mean, the reason why Jamie Mack became a thing is because Sterling Marlin got hurt the year he was on pace to win a championship. Jamie Mack won in his second race, filling in for Sterling Marlin at Charlotte in October of, what was that, 2002 or 2003? I think it was 2002. So, I mean, we haven't really – I mean, to get in somebody else's car and win, pretty huge. So he was a big splash to start with, and he was with Chip Ganassi at the time.
Good call. Andy, anything?
I'm not going to be unkind. I do rate Jamie Mack. I think he's been – he hasn't had a great couple of seasons, which is obviously why he's gone, but I think overall, I think, you know, he's been pretty consistent over the years, to be honest, and been performed at the level required, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, I think with him being a two-car team and always being compared to Kyle Larson and seeing Kyle Larson go out there and get it done, maybe not get it done, but perform a lot better, a lot quicker in supposedly the same equipment, I think that kind of brought a more negative attention to Jamie McMurray over the last couple of years and definitely, a lack of performance.
Being Larson's teammate is like being Lewis Hamilton's teammate. It's just you can't do anything about it. He's just that good.
Yeah. Oh, the way he wheels is unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Xfinity. A lot of changes, but I guess maybe some of the 2 points of major note. BJ's team is going to field 3 full-time Xfinity teams, which that's awesome that a lower budgeted team like that's going to be able to field 3 full-time rides. PTM, I got to assume Tommy Joe might be able to be the beneficiary of that to some degree in 2019, I hope.
Here's hoping. Yeah,
I think I know Tommy's going to get some races. We just don't know how many yet.
And the other big news, the Chip Ganassi Xfinity ride shuts down, which just is a real big bummer there. Comments, Sherwin?
Yeah, well, I think we've all known this was coming since early December. You know, the FBI doesn't usually decide to move on somebody without some pretty significant evidence. I think what that does, though, is if we flip to the other side of what this does is it opens up another spot for a non-Cup companion team to have a good performance year. And I think that's going to be closer to what a lot of people have been complaining about. What they wanted was to see less, you know, Cup-light cars on the racetrack during the Xfinity race. So I hate it for Ross Chastain. Such a cool dude. He's performed in every opportunity that he's had to do so. He's made a name for himself that I think will matter going forward. Hate it that he doesn't get to get in a championship caliber car this year, but can't imagine that this won't be his last chance to do that.
Andy?
You know,
Rusty, go ahead.
The last two topics that you brought up, I think, dovetail well into each other. Not just Ganassi, but remember Roush pulled out as well. And you said BJ McLeod is running 3 full-time Xfinity teams. So seeing a little bit of a changing of the guard there with the, like you said, sort of the lower budget folks throwing a lot of meat at this, I think it'll be very cool.
It's a good time to be in the Xfinity series, I think, if you're a driver and a team owner and being able to maybe show your stuff a little bit and make a little noise, which is cool. I know you're going to have the Dash for Cash, which is going to take Cup guys out. And like Sherwin said, you know, you may not be a Cup guy driving, but you got Cup equipment for the most part. So if that's limited, the Xfinity series should be a lot of fun to watch this year, I think, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not to dominate the conversation, but
no, you're good.
Also keep in mind with the 8 car, and in the JRM fold. That's a cool number change for them for a lot of reasons. But what it is an all-star car, but he's not putting – it's not a cup all-star car like the 22 has been for Penske. It's a whole bunch of guys that have earned a shot at racing a really good Xfinity car, and they're all going to do about 5 or 6 races apiece. So that's pretty cool too.
No, I like that. That is cool, especially because it's going to be a rotation of mostly Xfinity guys in that seat, which is really cool.
Yep.
All right. Truck series. For me, the real big news, Brett Moffitt going to GMS and Sauter out at GMS. I did not see that one coming at all. I think that was probably the bigger shock in terms of driver changes throughout all three series for me. Andy? I know you guys don't watch the truck that much, but that was pretty big.
I was just actually flicking through the moves of the 29 changes to make sure I was. But obviously, you came to me too early. So I don't watch a lot of trucks. I think Harrison Burton is the one that sticks out to me, to be honest. Going to KBM.
That is a good one.
KBM. Woo.
Yeah. And that's enough out of you. Sure.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big change, was it not?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird decision. It's almost like they couldn't come to a contractual agreement. Like Sauter maybe wanted too much, or maybe wanted too much of the purse, or something. Like, I don't know why you would jettison a championship-winning driver who wants to be in trucks. It just kind of doesn't make sense. I got to believe Johnny Sauter come Daytona, even though we only have 3 weeks to go, is going to have a race car to drive, a race truck to drive.
Sure. No, I agree. Rusty?
Well, I brought it up right here. This text between me and Sherwin just last night, which I thought was very germane to the conversation here. Sherwin had brought it up the way that we sort of introduced the topic. He said Jordan Anderson has signed up for a tech alliance with GMS, which is a good move. And then we were lamenting that, you know, can't believe they're getting rid of the Truck Series legend with Sauter, and must have been some weird money deal. But it was funny you bring that up. We were just texting
that's
that funny. Last.
That's awesome. And then maybe some non-driver and team news came out earlier this week. Bob Pockris and Ricky Craven going to be with the Fox team, which is pretty cool. You know, it's Jayski shutting down as of Monday. ESPN is, I think, just ready to wash their hands of NASCAR, basically, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. It's two fingers up from ESPN.
Without Jayski, we literally have no content.
Yeah,
we don't know what we're going to do. We'll have to watch the races and everything now.
Yeah, no cheaters.
That's funny. Got to believe that database exists, you know, in its own sphere or our own silo. That, and somebody would say, yeah, we want to reactivate that database. I asked what's his name? Kevin Page, one of the three guys that helped run it. I asked him to be on the show. He said he was crazy busy, and I said, we'll figure it out. But it sounded like Jayski, that's sure. What it's, you know, because it was paint scheme. So Jayski, right? Yep. Paint scheme. He was ready to retire anyway. So it sounds like he's ready to wash his hands of it regardless. So I don't know what will become of it or what those two other resources, how they'll, you know, where they'll get allocated or where they'll find jobs. But you got to believe that that information is so useful. So many people use it that somebody's going to try to pull it in.
It's a great resource in terms of, you know, from a standings perspective, driver, you know, change perspective, the paint schemes. You know, Bob Pockris' news is, updates would always flow there. You know, there's a lot of sites to get statistical data, you know, which is cool. But from a news and content, you got a lot of important snippets that weeded out a lot of unnecessary trash and clickbait and that sort of stuff, which is why that was always the first spot that I ever went to.
Yeah.
All right. Any other changes or any other silly season stuff anybody wants to bring up before we move on from, yes. from here? Yes. Please.
Knaus moving to Wee Willie Byron.
Crew chief change. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
that is the one that interests me the most out of all the changes that have happened this year, believe it or not.
I like that. All right, so I got to ask you this. Who gets the win first, Chad or Jimmy?
Oh, that's a good question.
Chad.
Yeah.
Chad.
Yeah, I don't. Definitely. I'm the on the other side of that fence.
I'm a Jimmy Johnson fan. Everybody knows that. Yeah, but
I'm going with
the young gun.
The young
gun. That's what I'm going for. Yeah, 100%.
Sherwin, any other silly season stuff you want to address, bring up?
No, I don't think so.
No, Rusty, you good? Got anything else?
Man, I'm so sour about ESPN. You know, the big problem I have with them is that they get to keep Marty and McGee, who are just fantastic people on NASCAR, and they're not going to let them talk about motorsports, probably. So,
right. Yeah, no kidding.
McGee's going to be on site for the 500, but other than that, I don't know what it is they plan for NASCAR coverage on ESPN.
All right. Let's see. I thought this would be fun just to keep up with silly season and early stuff. Let's go around the square table here as it is. I want everyone's final four picks. A little preseason final four and a champ. So we will start in the top left with David. David, give me your final four and your championship pick.
Well, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. We'll put him up there.
Shocker.
I'm going to go with... Yeah, shocker. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. And I'm going to put in... I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. And... I'm going to go with... why have you put me on the spot? Kyle Larson. And I think Kyle Larson's going to take the championship.
Wow. All right.
That's my fault.
Andy.
Busch, Larson. That's Kyle Busch. Busch, Larson, Harvick, and one of the Penske's. Let's go for Brad. Because, yeah. And I think... Keselowski takes it.
Nice. All right. Rusty.
Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, and Mr. Blaney. And I've got Logano going twice in a row.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Ooh.
Sherwin.
So I'm going to take a different route now that I've got to hear everybody except host.
You're going
to
dollar?
Yeah, I'm going to bet that dollar. Well, here's what I'm going to bet on. I'm going to bet on Chevrolet has got the Camaro figured out and that Ford is still working on the Mustang. So what I'm going to bet is Kyle Busch and Truex, same team. And I'm going to bet on Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson. And I think Jimmy gets his eighth and we get to see history.
Wow. Oh. Nice.
Boom, look out.
All right, so we all have Kyle Busch in our Final Four, including myself, along with Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, and Brad Keselowski. And, hey, it's fan base, so I'm homering out. Kevin Harvick gets the second one after being robbed of it, in my opinion, this year. So.
Yeah. I've got one for Sherman, actually. Because he likes his old couch flip. If Jimmy Johnson wins, will he set the couch on fire? Flip and on fire.
Fire, no.
Come on. Flipping fire.
Flipping fire.
I don't live in Michigan. We don't tend to set stuff on fire.
That's a Michigan State thing. It's an East Lansing thing. I don't
you
get
set
it.
Things on fire
logs and stuff. Yeah, it's over there in Michigan State and Columbus, Ohio, where they just set crap on fire just for.
Speaking just of Columbus, Ohio, so tonight, which I'm going to go get ready to watch here, Michigan is playing Ohio State in basketball. So I text Brad Yunker and I'm like, "Hey, can we make a bet? Maybe even things up." He goes, "No, it only counts in football. It doesn't matter what you do on the basketball court." I'm like, "Well, I'm just trying to steal a win here somewhere because I know we ain't doing it on the football field." So,
well, like, it's funny he says that because they've been pretty damn good at basketball.
I know.
Here. Oh. We're playing North Carolina. It tips in 4 minutes.
Nice. Nice.
It's a home game for us, but that's a tough game for us. I wouldn't expect Tech to win.
All right. MOATF, what's up with you guys? 2019 season, you guys posted a teaser clip yesterday. I'll be honest, I was confused by it. So, what's up with MOATF in 2019?
Well, you guys on that card of the side of the pond put your dates the wrong way around. That was the point. We do day then month. You do month then day.
Gotcha.
So that was the kind of point of that. So next Monday we're coming back and we're moving. I'm going to bore everybody now even more than usual. So back end of last year, we think we got too little NASCAR, too much silliness.
Nonsense.
And we kind of wasn't as good as we should have been. So what we've done this year, we've moved. Well, there will still be nonsense, obviously, because it wouldn't be us without it. But we've moved in the NASCAR stuff to our same place we do the iRacing and esports stuff. So people who listen to us will have to retune their listening devices, if that's a thing, to the MOATF Esports Network, because our NASCAR stuff is going out on that. And then we're planning something new on the MOATF podcast, which will be pure, absolute, unfiltered, because we believe it or not, we filter our silliness when we're doing it on for the NASCAR stuff. So it'll be unfiltered silliness on the MOATF podcast. And then the NASCAR stuff is going to the MOATF along with the esports stuff.
Excellent. PETM, you guys don't take an off-season break, but anything new, any new segments or anything like that that you guys are going to be doing for 2019?
Ooh, new segments. Sherman, yeah, you had one not too long ago. You know, everything with the PETM podcast, just a seat of our pants. We'll have, hey, that segment was kind of cool. That was fun. And then we'll forget about it 3 weeks later. And you know, who knows? I think Sherwin has a guest list lined up for like the next 2 months or something crazy.
Awesome.
Always going to have some awesome people on. Keep doing our thing. We've got our announcement coming up with the sponsorship deal for this last year via the patrons. So we're wheeling and dealing. And Sherwin?
You guys are going to have to put up with my ass in a couple weeks. So
this is true.
I don't know that I got the word yet that you were coming down. I didn't know if trying to hide or something.
It's official. The plane is booked. Like it's happening. I'm on my way.
Yeah, and the Sherwin Bed and Breakfast in Fayetteville, Georgia, has been booked.
Nice.
For three rooms.
Where it's Christmas all year round.
Yeah, Well, my parents are pretty fun when there's company around. They're not as much fun when it's just me. Rusty said it right. I mean, the new segments are fly by night. You know, it's like on a whim. This sounds like fun. Let's do this once and see if we like it enough to remember to do it again. tonight we're going to do something that's wildly outside of what the standard NASCAR podcast might be, because we're going to be talking soccer for probably half an hour.
Nice. That's right. Double duty for PETM podcast.
Yeah. European football is what we're
I think association football is the actual
association. FIFA. We're going to be talking some FIFA. Our team in Atlanta actually won a championship, which is kind of new for Atlanta.
Interesting.
We've only had like three of those in the history of the city. Two of them were some championships.
Do that.
Hey, man. England soccer team in the whole country.
Oh, that's amazing. As a British, you know, you're Europeans, and obviously football is the big sport. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm more of a rugby person, but, you know, for football in America is always been the thing that is never, for some reason, it's never been a big deal. And so, you know, I would say 94 up, and it's great that they're selling 70,000 seat stadium. It's great.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that'll be part of the conversation, not to spill too many beans in case anybody happens to listen to this before we get started, but that'll be part of it. And I mean, the World Cup is what spawned the league that we have. That's our top league. And it's gone through some ebbs and flows, but it's doing really well right now.
And got some good players as well. Right. Wayne Rooney. I saw Wayne Rooney play his debut for Man United when he scored a hat trick. On his debut against I was there at Old Trafford for that. So
Well, fantastic. Make sure everyone to if you're listening to this one first, make sure you go check out PETM. Tomorrow, Friday, whenever you get your podcasting in. Any final thoughts before I get us out of here, boys?
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
Pats. Pats all the way. Pats.
Oh, we can finally agree on something over there.
Oh, yeah. The Kyle Busch fan is also the Pats fan. Like, right.
Perfect. Who would have thought it?
That's crazy.
Front runner.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 110 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Big thanks to the PETM Podcast and the MOATF Podcast for coming on the show. Can't believe it worked. Everyone's picture's still up here on Skype. It worked flawlessly. Looking forward to the interaction with you guys during the season. Sherwin, where can everyone find you and the podcast at?
Yeah, so personally, you can find me at Pregame Engineer on the Twitter and at Andrew L. Sherwin on Instagram. And then our podcast, you can find at PETM Podcast in basically every form you could possibly search for.
Excellent. Rusty, where can everyone find you at?
You don't know where it is. At Tailgate Mayor on Twitter. And I just can't do any other social media. I hardly can do Twitter. So,
David, where can everyone find you and the podcast at?
Oh, why'd you have to bring me into it? Oh. I mean, this is
that's because he doesn't know.
I don't know where he did it. So I'll just turn up. No, at MOATF Podcast and at MOATF Esports for the Twitter. I don't know I don't have a personal Twitter. I just muck about on our big one.
And Andy, where can everyone find you at?
I only came here for the weather. When's he coming on?
When's the weatherman
come on? I only came for the weatherman.
Aaron Studwell.
He'll be on for the Clash. He will start back up for the Clash.
Got it. You can find me on, I'm at FiatRace28. I look up the MOATF Esports Twitter, and then the podcast, we are the NASCAR stuff is moving to MOATF Esports, so search that on iTunes, and then look out for some new stuff on the normal MOATF podcast.
Excellent. And you guys can find me, of course, at LapTrafficPC. Next week, I'll be here. Not sure with whom or what yet. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!